is just the way you work in every detail of our lives. Everything that comes to us, we know, comes through your fingers, and you are preparing us for eternity. Lord, we just pray that you'll help us today to grasp the meaning of this passage that we're going to read and study. We pray, God, you'll work in our lives in a mighty way. In Jesus' way, Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have your Bibles today, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Well, it's been a while since I've stood up here behind this podium. And, you know, Pastor Tyler and I kind of planned out August what we wanted to see happen. We wanted Pastor Tyler to have 4 weeks, you know, where he'd have this sermon series that he would do. And the first week, Pastor Tyler got sick. And Dave Plaster used to say, you know, every pastor has to be ready to preach, pray, or die at any moment. So I figured out that, hey, I better come up with a sermon quickly. And I preached on Hebrews chapter 11. At that time, because it was something that I was thinking about and something that was on my heart. And, you know, man makes his plans, but God determines his steps. And right after Tyler got better, then I got sick. And Jim Elder helped us by preaching in between there, too. So we're back and we're healthy and we can see. It's a privilege to be able to see. But now, what we're going to do is try, kind of, in my mind anyways, put bookends around this whole time period from when we preached that first sermon when Tyler and I both got sick till today. And it was great to work with Tyler and Jim and everybody. What great teamwork partnership we have in helping to lead this church. Well, when we read Hebrews chapter 11, of course, we couldn't study the whole book, so I gave you some homework. I told you to read the rest of the chapter. Does anybody remember that homework from a month ago? Probably not. Okay, it's all right, but we'll review it a little bit. And, you know, as you read chapter 11, you're going to come across a list of names, about 15. You know, some of them are in the plural, like it says prophets, so it's more than 15. But all these people were commended for their faith. And, you know, these people were not some kind of, like, superheroes that, you know, we watch on television sometimes. But they were people with normal feelings. They were people with everyday temptations. They were people with common trials. And you know, their questions were probably a lot like ours. Should I cheat? Should I keep going? Will God stick with me through this whole thing? You know, as you read chapter 11, you could come away knowing at least three things about faith. And this is what I summarize them in saying. First of all, faith is the only way to please God. It's the only way, by faith. Secondly, faith is not a feeling, but it's a response to God's revelation, the Bible. We respond to God by faith. And thirdly, when we act on faith, God rewards us. He watches us. He knows what we're thinking, what we're doing. He rewards us. Those facts in chapter 11 were to get us ready for the Christian race described in Hebrews chapter 12 and 13, which are loaded with practical ideas about obeying the Lord. All kinds of things that have to do with basic daily nitty-gritty, where the rubber meets the road, really. This is to be helpful for us. You know, the Christian life is often described in the Bible as a race, or a race to be run, or a fight to be fought. And as we open chapter 12 today, let's look at four tips for running the race with endurance. You know, four ideas, four suggestions for running this race that we run with endurance, and as we run together as a church. First tip we found in chapter 12, verse 1, and the first part of verse 1, which I call A. But I'll read the whole verse for you again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. This is referring us back to those people who were mentioned and described in chapter 11. Those who ran with endurance against some pretty tough competition. You know, Pharaoh, Nero, that's pretty tough competition. They ran against that by putting their faith in practice. You know, these people that are mentioned in chapter 11 were truly champions. They were gold medalists of the faith. And they were not sitting in some stadium like spectators watching us. And we tend to think that, don't we? The world revolves just around us. But that's not what the text describes here. But they were rather bearing witness to us that no matter what we go through, God can see us through. And since we have witnesses like these speaking to us, we know that we can make it. This agrees with Romans 15:4, which says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." We have hope because of what God writes in the Old Testament scriptures for us. There's a story told about two marathon runners. I'm not a marathon runner. Okay, I walked 4 miles yesterday, and the most I've ever run in a week is like 100K. But I'm not a marathon runner. But there's a story told about these two guys. One marathon runner was really good. His name's Craig, and he would finish like 10th. You know, there are 500 people running. 10th is pretty good. And the other guy is named Mike. And Mike finishes like, not dead last, but maybe 5th or 6th from the last. You know, so you kind of get the picture. And these guys were good friends. And they would run marathons together. Well, kind of get together. You know, they were separate by the whole crowd. And, you know, after Craig, the faster runner, would finish running his marathon, he would come back, he would run back the last couple of miles and find Mike and run beside Mike in the race. And when he would see him, he would say, "Mike, dip your shoulder, lean down, shorten your steps." And Mike would tell him as he ran alongside, "Tell me I can do it." And Craig would say to him, "You can do it." And Mike would say, "Are you just telling me that because I told you?" He said, "No, I believe, Mike, that you can do this." And you know, that helped. He finished. Because Craig had finished the race and encouraged Mike, Mike finished. So the first thing that we should do is consider the victorious witnesses that God has provided for us in chapter 11. Consider those people. Consider how God worked in their lives. If he worked in their lives, guess what? He can work in your life too. The second tip that I found in this passage is in still the first verse, but the second part of verse 1. So I'll read it again. It's a very important verse. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." This part of the verse gives us two things that we are to get rid of, to lay aside, to get out of our lives. Everything that hinders and sin that entangles. Every time I hear that, sin that entangles, I remember, you know, going coon hunting and getting wrapped up in multiple rose bushes. You know, entangled. That's really entangled. But everything that hinders and sin that entangles. First of all, what hinders a runner? Think about a runner in the Olympics. What hinders a runner? Well, the Greek word there means excess weight or bulk or burdens, like heavy training weights or bulky sweatpants. You know, those things have their purpose. They have their time when runners use those things. But you know, this summer I watched the Olympics. I didn't see any guy that was competing that still had on his weights around his ankles or his heavy sweatpants. So this refers to not necessarily sins, but doing something that's not God's best for us. I mean, we're really not using God's time and our efforts the way God could really use us in our lives. Well, what hinders a Christian? Maybe an indifferent attitude or impatience. Anything that slows down this process of faith that we're involved in, becoming more and more like Christ. And you know, when we see those things in our life, we should just box those things up and throw them out. Hey, I've seen that, I've got rid of that, I've confessed that. I'm done with that. I'm done with that stuff. Box it up, get it out of your life. What is the sin that entangles us? It's not multiflora roses, rose bushes. But according to chapter 11, it's the sin of unbelief. Not trusting God. Not trusting God. You know, it's, I don't know if you did this, but in July and August, there were some Olympics on television, weren't there? I think that's true. And we noticed all the good runners laying aside their weights, even more so than we would have liked sometimes, because they're, you know, very, very little clothing on them. And they strip away all the non-essentials. And that's what we should be committed to doing, to being, as we try to be good runners following Jesus, good followers of Jesus Christ, throwing off everything that hinders us. Third tip that I found in this passage is I'm still in verse 1, because it's a very important verse, and we have to stay there and explain these things and apply these things. The third tip is, let us run the race with endurance. 12:1 says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You know, endurance is a steady determination to keep going. I'm not running, but I walked 4 miles yesterday, and I'm not as fast as Cindy is yet, and I don't know if I ever will be. But there's always that nagging thing, so like, give it up, you know. You know, you've walked enough. You know, don't go any further. But endurance prevents us from doing that. We keep going. You know, everything inside of us wants to slow down or give up, but we don't do it. We are to run the race set out for, that's marked out for us. And you know, I was talking with some of my friends this week and about this passage, and they stopped me. And they said, George, I want you, you know, they're older than I am, so I let them do that. But they said, you know, the for us is really important in this verse. You know, we're all, when we become Christians, we become Christians one way. We accept Christ as our Savior, our Lord of our lives, and our sins are forgiven. We're given eternal life. That happens, if you're a Christian, that happens to everybody. That's the starting line. And then eventually, there's going to be a finish line. And the Bible says those who are absent from the body are present with the Lord. That's the end here on earth for everybody. And we go to heaven. We go and we're in the arms of Jesus. So we know what the beginning line is, the start line is, and we know what the finish line is. But you know, for every single person, that time in between is different. You know, there are different hills that certain people have to go up. There are different trials that other people face that some people don't face. But it's all marked out for us personally to design us, to prepare us, to mature us, to be used for all of eternity. It's a great thing. That's why we, with perseverance, we run this race. The race that's marked out for us. And of course, none of the things that we do in that race will disagree with Jesus and the Word of God. His way is best. The way of Christ is the only and it's the best way. Endurance comes from the heart. It's the muscles of the will, saying that because Christ is Lord and gives us hope, we refuse to drop out. We must keep going. No, nobody has it easy. Not one person on this earth has it easy. Let's run our race with endurance that he has marked out for each one of us. It's a privilege to be able to do that. It's a privilege to follow Christ. Fourth tip. The fourth tip I have, the last tip about running the race with endurance. Guess what? We get to move on to verses 2 and 3 finally. So we'll see what verses 2 and 3 have for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So this is the fourth tip. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. It's a privilege if we can fix our eyes on something, if we can read, if we can understand, if we can be focused, we can actually focus our eyes. What a privilege that is. The Greek word here for fix means to look away from all else. All else. You get it out of your line of vision. You fix your eyes on one thing, and that is Jesus Christ. And we keep our focused attention on him during the whole struggle. Now, what happens to a sprinter if he doesn't know whether he's in first place or second place, and he looks over, takes his eyes off the end line, what happens? You lose, right? You lose. Keep your eyes on Jesus. We are to remember who Jesus is. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's the writer of Scripture. He's the creator of the universe who went to the cross to die for you and me. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He's the one who explains everything and makes it crystal clear to us how we are to live. And he perfects us as we follow Jesus. He makes it easier as the path goes on, as he perfects us and making us more and more like him. So the day that we finally see him face to face, guess what? We're going to be changed and we'll be like Jesus. It's his work in us. We are to meditate on what Christ did. He voluntarily went to the cross. He did it for us. He did it for you. He did it for me. So that through faith in him, we might have eternal life. Jesus endured opposition from sinful men. They scorned him. They spit on him. They did everything. They whipped him. They did everything they could to give him and make him give up. And he didn't. But he crossed the finish line and sat down at the right hand of God. You know, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, when we remember what he did, all the things that he's doing for us still today, that will encourage us and keep us from losing heart, keep us from giving up. You know, that's one of the worst things an athlete can do is, you know, start bowing your head and give up. My coach used to yell at me all the time, "Swain, you get your head up. Don't give up. Game's not over yet. We can still win this. Stick with me." Jesus asks us to stick with him. And we do that by remembering what Jesus did for us on the cross. We are to fix our eyes on Jesus. That will help our minds block out any of these distractions that come into our lives. And we are to meditate on the tough race that he ran for us. Then God will provide a burst of adrenaline for our race-weakened legs of faith. His promises. This is his promises, and he promises this is absolutely true. I have some questions for us as we finish today. First question is the race of faith you are breezing, in the race of faith, are you breezing along with the wind at your back? Where are you? Or are you limping to the sidelines with a cramp in your calf? Which is it? Are there any distractions in your life that are hindering your faith? Did God bring to your mind anything that you need to box up and throw away? And you need to crumble up and say, "Hey, this is just a waste of time. This is keeping me away from being everything I need to be in Jesus Christ." And, you know, the final question is, do you know Christ? You can't run this race with endurance unless we know Christ as our Savior. In order to participate in the Olympics, you had to be a citizen. Non-citizens couldn't participate. They couldn't run. Even if they were better, they couldn't run the race. You know, Jesus went to the cross. He voluntarily gave up his life. That's why he came to earth, was to die for us, so that by putting our faith, our trust in him, we might have eternal life. We might have our sins forgiven. We might have hope that helps us with all the different things we face upon this earth. And we can understand, too, once we give our lives to Christ, that all things work together for the good. Every single thing that we experience is for our good, because this life is not the end. There's a resurrection that's coming, and we want the best resurrection we can have, to be with him forever, to be able to serve him and glorify him for all of eternity. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for these just little short passages from the Bible. They're so chock full of hope, of promise, of the good things you are doing for us, you have done for us, and you're going to do for us even more in the future. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.